You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday. Yes, it is finally Friday on the plains. The sun is shining, not a cloud in the sky. It feels good to say it, and it looks even better out the window. Hope you're all doing well on this Friday, April 5th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Alongside me in the studio, happy Friday, Uncle T-Bone. Great to see you once again, and we've made it to the end of another week.
Everyone take a big deep breath. Inhale. Exhale. It's Friday. Clock out. Tell the boss man or lady you're out of here. Turn up the radio and listen to us here at 106.7 ESPN Radio. On the line, we will take you home from 2 to 4. And boy, oh boy, what a weekend it's going to be. It's a beautiful day, Jacob. Happy to be inside the studios here over on North Dean Drive. I mean, golly, Chamber of Commerce Day out there. Got the Auburn baseball and going to try and get off the snide against Tennessee. That's going to be a big weekend over there on campus. A-Day will finally culminate this spring practice that feels like it's been going on for a month now or so, which I guess it has. In between, spring break was in between it.
Right.
NCAA tournament, man, I was over in. I've been traveling around the state on my day job and tuning in to some other local local sports talk shows.
They're getting excited.
They are getting excited. And I say what, I tell you what, man, they should be. That's a big deal. The Final Four is a big deal. But quite frankly, Jake, I'm about ready to pivot from it all because you know what's coming up next week.
Oh,
the sounds of Augusta. Can you feel it,
sweet
folks?
Sweet music.
Oh. But we got to get through this weekend first. Masters week is coming up, so I'm excited. Thank you so much. Give us a call at 334-321-1390 here at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is.
And holds nothing back, which we're going to do today. So much to get to, everything you mentioned, and then more. It's a free-for-all Friday, which means phone lines are open for 2 hours. We want to hear from you, your thoughts, your opinions, your topics that you want to hear and talk about. 334-321-1390. Coming up at 2:30, I mentioned this yesterday, and I believe maybe on Wednesday as well, my good friend Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas. He's on in the mornings over in ESPN Fayetteville. He'll be joining us on the phones to discuss. He actually joined me a little bit earlier today, so we'll have that for you. Talking about the Eric Musselman news. Now that not only is he interviewed for USC, he gone. He's at USC. He is out of Fayetteville, and my buddy Ty had some things to say. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, he has taken the train as quickly as possible. I mean, he would have probably taken like a New Mexico job just to get out of there in Arkansas. I mean, is there anybody left on their roster? I mean, you talk about complete just free-for-all this season with them. I mean, they have fallen apart up there in Arkansas. Hot rumor, though, and I wonder if he's going to talk about it, that I'm seeing is possibly Chris Beard from the University of Mississippi making the leap over there. I don't know how I feel about that. I think it's a lot easier to make that kind of jump now that there really are no divisions moving forward with the expansion. And it's not like Arkansas and Ole Miss are just completely bitter rivals. But still, anytime a coach leaves a job or possibly leaves a job or is rumored interconference, I kind of get the uneasy feelings about that. I don't know how I feel about that one, Jacob.
Some people see it as almost dirty is how they see it. Like, not that it is, but that's how a lot of people see it, right? Whether it be a coordinator in college football or a head coach in basketball or even a transfer, right? You've seen that where guys go from Georgia to Florida or Florida to Georgia. I mean, we've seen the Auburn-Alabama thing happen, right? Coaching is a little bit different, but it is. It's almost got a dirty dirty feel to it. It's like, ooh, wow, you transferred interconference, man, against a team you compete with every single day of the year? I don't know. We'll see if it happens with Chris Beard.
I wonder if it used to be a little bit more common back in the day. I mean, everybody knows the history of Auburn and Georgia, kind of like the cousins, first cousins. You know, Pat Dye played at Georgia, coached at Alabama, obviously coached at Auburn. Vince Dooley playing at Auburn, coaches over there at Georgia. I believe Shug Jordan coached over there for a little bit, and all the other intricacies of it. But, you know, I remember even as an assistant coach back when Tommy Tuberville left Auburn after the 2008 season, and Alabama poached former Auburn linebacker and linebacker coach at the time, James Willis, off the staff. And there were a lot of people that nicknamed him and still stand by this, James Judas Willis.
Sheesh.
Yeah, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? And said, hey, here's your 40 sterling silver pieces gone to Alabama, never come back. You know, I hadn't seen him on the plains in a long time, but there's still people with, hey, look, I'll tell you right now, this is a quick story, Jacob. The barbershop's old man was best friends with Vince Dooley, and when he left Auburn, they never talked again.
Wow.
I mean, so, you know, a lot of people don't like it when it's interconference like that. They feel like you're doing something a little dirty. We saw in the last couple of years Mike White leave Florida to go to Georgia. It looks like Florida, it panned out pretty well for Florida with the coach they have.
I'd say so.
You know, I think circumstances differ. Would I ever really, you know, I mean, we've seen it at Auburn. We brought Kevin Steele in, who was a Bama guy. We brought in a brother, Bill Oliver, who was a Bama guy. You know, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about
Must
it.
Muschamp made his way around the SEC.
Yeah, you know, I guess if you've just been one of these guys who was kind of a mercenary type coach, like I guess Will Muschamp. And you look, these coaches have all the right in the world to go wherever they want if somebody's going to pay them more.
Same thing with the players.
And that's why I think players should have that same option as well.
Which is, I mean, you've seen for years, you know, you had the transfer interconference rules where you had to sit out and do all that. I mean, none of that exists anymore. All of it's just fair game. Like, you can just do whatever you want to do. And, you know, it's funny because that was a huge argument for a long time was, well, if my coach can go from Florida to Georgia, why can't I? Well, now you can. And everybody kind of has your free will of whatever you want to do. And so many players argued that because it's like, okay, I'm going to get criticized when I enter the portal because I'm looking for something better, but my coach could be working on a brand new deal in the back right now, and we have no idea. And half the time, they don't even talk to their team before they do it. They sign the contract, hop on the jet, and they fly out somewhere else. I mean, that's how this business works, and it's dirty for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it 100 times where a coach just shows up on the tarmac and he's heading towards his press conference, and they've sent the moving trucks to go get all his stuff, and he just on the way out kind of waves at everybody and says, I mean, there's the stories of when Tommy Tuberville was I believe at Texas Tech and recruiting someone and got the call like that, he, you know, from his agent that Cincinnati's hiring you, and basically said check please and left. You know, so I mean, you got to do what you got to do in this world, right? But I still, you know, you also just don't want to. You don't want to, if you're working somewhere, and your competitor comes to you and says, "We want to hire you." I mean, is it dirty for you to leave and go work for your competitor if they're going to pay you more?
I mean, I guess it depends on where you sit on the moral scale, right? And I don't know if it should be that way or not, but that's, some people can do it and not think twice about it, and some people wouldn't have the heart to do it. And that, I think it depends on the person, the situation, whether it be sports or life. I mean, that's just kind of, it depends on each situation. I think they're all unique. But think about today's world too, where how many times do you hear about players in the professional world or in the college level hear about their coach being fired or leaving on social media? They see a tweet about it. They see an Instagram post about it or an article that went out before they even found out from the coach or the school themselves or the player or organization, whatever the case may be. I mean, today's world of social media, you've got these journalists and these high-level guys in the media that they jump on it, and their job is to be the first one on it. And so many players find out via X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, that their coach just left. And that's a tough thing to deal with, man. I would be upset if that's how I found out. If I was a college athlete and I was committed to this coach for this long and was playing there for X amount of years, and all of a sudden he made a deal overnight and flew out, nobody knew, and I saw it on social media before he called me or there was a team meeting or the university told me, I'm going to have some things to say, and I'm going to be upset. I don't know about you, and I don't know about all of our listeners, but right, that's how I would feel. I would be vastly upset.
Yeah, I mean, you can be upset all you like, Jacob, at that, but it's also a harsh lesson that young people should learn very quickly in this world, that it can be ruthless, and oftentimes your feelings on the matter don't matter. And what you said about social media, too, these things didn't break like they did 20, 25 years ago. Heck, even probably 10, 15 years ago. You saw it last December when the greatest of all time, we came in, we're doing a show. It's like, hey, is Saban retiring today? You heard those rumors? They're out there on social media. No, T, he ain't retiring. No, there's no way he's leaving. He's going to be like Joe Paterno. He's going to coach until he just can't even hardly walk over there on the sidelines anymore and doesn't even know where he is. I mean, he loves the game. He's not leaving us. No, I've come to respect the man as a rival. I want to see him back at Jordan-Hare so we can get another shot at trying to beat him like we should have this last season. And then we were even sitting there having that conversation off air. Remember what we said? How cool would it be for us to be able to go, breaking news, Nick's out. And guess what? About 10 minutes after we got off the air, the man retired.
Yeah, and that's how quick it happens. I mean, that's literally how it goes. I mean, breaking news at your fingertips, and that's the world that we live in. And so to kind of loop all this back to what this conversation started with Eric Musselman leaving Arkansas and going to USC, yes, Chris Beard is the lead name, at least on social media and in the eyes of the fans, and we'll see what Arkansas decides to do. But Ty Richardson will join us. We'll have that interview for you coming up at 2:30. He talks about Chris Beard. He talks about Will Wade. He talks about some other guys that could potentially be coming in to be the new head coach of Arkansas basketball. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, he's got a hot take about the state of that program and the job that it is. He tells it like it is. I promise you that. So be sure you stay tuned for that. Also have the Final Four coming up this Saturday. Alabama and UConn, and then Purdue and NC State. I think it's the other way around, technically. I think Purdue, NC State play first, and then Alabama and UConn play second. And we'll give you our picks and predictions as we go through the show today. But this is an exciting Final Four. I mean, I'm really excited. It is not your traditional Final Four by any means. I mean, UConn is really the only one that's been there a lot, consistently is the word I think you could use there, in the last 25, 27 years. You know, they've been to seven Final Fours, right, Uncle Tebow? They've been to seven Final Fours, which that's a lot. But compared to some of the blue bloods like Kentucky and Duke and Kansas, whatever, they're not really that close. But guess what? They've won five national championships out of those seven trips to the Final Four. That's pretty efficient work.
I mean, their program is on fire. You know, that's just all they're in a good way.
No, it's not burning down.
It's not a dumpster fire like Louisville or Arkansas at the moment. But, golly, did you say Will Wade? Did I hear you say Will Wade might be up for that job in Arkansas? Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I wrong?
Talk about falling down and falling back up. I mean, that just caught me off guard for a second. I mean,
yeah, Will Wade at McNeese. Yeah,
I guess there's really no issues with the NCAA anymore. I mean,
you had me second guessing who I said.
What can the NCAA really do to anybody?
Nothing.
A few years ago, Will Wade was basically ostracized his way out of college basketball, showed back up at, I believe, was it Morehead State?
He's at McNeese right now.
McNeese, excuse me, the place in Louisiana. And then all of a sudden, he might be up for a job like Arkansas in basketball. He's a heck of a good coach, don't get me wrong. But, that one just kind of caught me off guard, man. I'm telling you.
If it's not Arkansas, it'll be somewhere else. I could guarantee you that.
Definitely not a traditional Final Four. But, you know, we are seeing more of these higher-seeded teams get into the Final Four, you know, which is, I like. You know, and NC State's been on fire. That's the 11 seed. Obviously, Alabama's never been the Final Four. They'll be there tomorrow night. And Purdue's, you know, they haven't made many appearances in the Final Four, but they are number one seed. Mm-hmm. So you expect number one seeds to, if they're not going to get to the Final Four, to be really close to doing it with the advantages that they get in the tournament. But, yeah, UConn is obviously the class of this Final Four. And I've got some thoughts on that game we're going to have to get to in a little bit. I'm just going to go ahead and say this right now, that although they are the class of the Final Four, they are ripe to be upset. They are ripe to be upset tomorrow night, Jacob.
Double-digit favorites in the Final Four. It smells something bad, I'll tell you what,
yes.
Man. I mean, I it's wild to me. I don't care who the teams are, what the matchups are. Double-digit favorite in the Final Four, according to Las Vegas, is something serious. And we want to get your Final Four takes and picks and predictions on the show today. Give us a call. We want to hear them. Does Alabama get it done? Do they move on to the national championship game? Are we going to have to go through the misery of sitting on this show on Monday and talking about Alabama in the national championship game? Give us your thoughts and picks and predictions. 334-321-1390. We'll take our first break in hour number one. Come back, continue talking some college basketball and more here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, back inside the studio here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Would love to hear from you, 334-321-1390, talking the Final Four coming up tomorrow in Phoenix, out in Arizona. And I was listening to Doug's show earlier, and sounds like, I don't know how many Alabama fans are going to be out there, but it sounds like a decent amount that I've heard are going out. I don't know the number, and maybe that was just a loud crowd today, but do you know any Alabama fans, Uncle T-Bone, that are going to Arizona for the Final Four?
No, not off the top of my head, but I would be shocked if there are more fans of any other fan base than Alabama out there.
Really?
I surely will. Because, look, UConn's been out there a ton. You know, NC State's on fire. Purdue hasn't been in the Final Four much, so they'll have a – but I'm telling you, Alabama fans will be foaming at the mouth for this national championship.
Hmm.
And
I think Purdue fans are going to be the ones that outnumber everybody.
Man, I'm just telling you, Alabama fans are fanatics. That's just, we know this. We compete against these people every day, 24/7, 365. They are radicals about Alabama sports, but they're more radical about winning championships.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think UConn has ever had to encounter a fan base like this. And there's some rabid fans in basketball, don't get me wrong. But these are just rabid fans overall. This is one of the most rabid fan bases on earth. And they're going to get out there, Jacob, and I don't know how many people will be is this – and sorry for my ignorance, this is probably a dumb question, but is this game being played in the Arizona Cardinals football stadium?
What, the Final Four?
Yes.
It is. I'm looking up the venue right now. It is being played in – what is this, 2024, right? Well, I was trying to look. It's not showing up right now.
Okay. Well, you know, say each fan base has 5,000 people out there each, okay, watching their game. I don't know. I mean, what do you think is a reasonable number for each fan base on average to have out there watching this game? It's a lot of money to travel out to Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't in San Antonio or in New Orleans and in other places that it's been closer to this neck of the woods. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I would say maybe 10,000 to get out there and go, maybe more. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know there was a good amount of Auburn fans would travel to the Final Four, but that was a cross-country trip too.
So say each fan base has 10,000 fans out there. Those Alabama fans will feel like 100,000, especially if they get rolling. I mean, you've seen them at football games, Jacob. They start that Roll Tide, Roll Tide, and they're all up in your grill and stuff and foaming at the mouth and just going wild. And these UConn people are going to be like, what in the world is this? And it's like just some – is this the Confederate Army at Gettysburg?
Well, you were right about it's in State Farm Stadium. So they're playing this in a football stadium.
Oh, goodness
Which
gracious.
Is home of the Arizona Cardinals in the NFL.
Well, that's probably a little bit better for whoever's going against, because if they're playing in a little bit smaller venue, those 10,000, those 5,000 Alabama fans would sound like 100,000.
Well, I'll say this, and I'll say this because it's tough for some teams to adjust to playing in a massive football stadium, which is why some teams play terribly in the Final Four, because most of the time they are played in football stadiums with depth perception and the amount right. of fans and the size of the arena. Like, it's much different than playing in a normal-sized basketball arena.
Yeah, and Alabama apparently has been out there since Tuesday. Connecticut having a little bit of problems traveling out there because of the weather. I think they were delayed. I do think, you know, that might give Alabama advantage getting out there early and getting acclimated. But in that case, I think Connecticut's more used to playing in those type situations than Alabama. Right? Don't you think that Connecticut and these players have probably played in these type of arenas a little bit more than Alabama? So, you know, in the North Carolina Purdue game, I don't know what to think about that game, to be honest with you. I'm just going to keep rolling with the Wolfpack.
Okay. I mean,
that's the only thing I can tell you, because I look at this line. It came out at 11.5, and we can start with it first. Purdue minus an 11.5, over under of 146. That line's dropped to Purdue minus 9.5.
So both Purdue and UConn were favored double digits when they opened up.
That's exactly right.
That's unbelievable.
Both of them were favored by 11.5 according to scoresandodds.com. Connecticut has stayed minus 11.5. Purdue has dropped to minus 9.5. Either John Q. Public loves the Pack, or somebody with a lot of bank has decided that they're going to roll with the Pack like Uncle T-Bone.
I think it's the public. I really do. I think it's the public kind of like you, just saying, you know what? Why not? NC State's been doubted since game one of the ACC tournament, and all they've done is win 9 straight. That's all they've done. They won 5 straight in 5 days in the ACC tournament, and they've turned around and won all 4 in the NCAA tournament. What else do they have to prove to anybody?
Nothing. And, you know, I think that NC State, despite being 26-14 and Purdue being 33-4, has a lot more options to score offensively than Purdue. If Zach Edey gets in any kind of foul trouble early on in that game, NC State might smother Purdue.
I think NC State's guard play has been better than Purdue's up to this
point.
Oh,
no question about it. And they've got a big man down there who, yeah, he's not a 7'4", but DJ Burns Jr., he's no by the way boy.
No, and he's going to give Zach Edey all he wants.
It's going to be a different look for Edey, too. It's like I talked about. This is like some type of WrestleMania where you got Andre the Giant going against the Junkyard Dog.
Love it.
I mean, you don't know. This guy Burns, and he can step out and pop a three. You know, and he can distribute the ball, too. So what are they going to do? How is Purdue going to defend DJ Burns? Are they just going to let Zach Edey run around the court with him? No way.
Mm-mm.
And you know NC State's going to be rotating in and out. Who are they going to rotate in and out for Purdue? I mean, Edey had to play I think he played everything but like 36 seconds the other night.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he can't play.
He also played the game of his life.
Yeah, he can. He's proven that he can play almost an entire game, and he's durable enough too. But what if he gets in just a little bit of foul trouble and has to sit?
Here's a wild thought on that. What if NC State's entire game plan in the first half is, okay, we are going to take DJ Burns, give him the ball, and go straight at Zach Edey. And if both of them get in foul trouble, fine. And then we're going to trust our guard play and our shooters over yours. What if they just attack Edey and try to get him in foul trouble and gamble with DJ Burns and almost eliminate those two guys completely and just play a guard basketball game? How interesting would that be?
Yeah, I think that you got to try and go at him a little bit. I mean, you can't just be afraid to go in there, and hopefully you got a body up on them and the referees get a little bit whistle happy. And if there's anybody that's proven that they can draw a foul in this tournament, it's DJ Burns Jr.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's going to be a lot of fun in Alabama and UConn as well. We'll talk some more about it as we go on. Mike, you'll be first up when we come back. Then we'll have our interview with Ty Richardson of ESPN Arkansas. That's all coming up here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one on this beautiful Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Mike, you're on the line. Appreciate you holding on, man. What's up?
No problem, man. How are you guys doing today? It is beautiful here in Glendale.
Yes, it is a gorgeous day outside for sure. What's on your mind, man?
Well, me and my son-in-law and my grandson are getting ready for the game tomorrow.
Are you guys out there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You said you're in Glendale.
They're both big Alabama fans.
Okay, yeah, I knew you were an Alabama fan, so you got boots on the ground. Okay, all right. How about that?
Yeah, we got here about 11:30
today,
and we flew out of Auburn.
Okay. Well, what's the vibe like out there in terms of the Alabama fan base?
We're staying at the Renaissance, which is about 5 or 6 minutes away from the State Farm Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it is slam-packed full of Alabama and Purdue fans.
That's kind of what we were figuring. Yep. Yeah, it was Alabama and Purdue. I figured those would be the two fan bases that would probably travel out there the most. And so I'm not surprised by that.
But you talking about a place that is kicking here right now. And tonight we're going to go to the events. You can go watch the coaches get their jackets. They have the dinner, and all of them get a Final Four jacket.
Okay, that'll be cool.
Yeah, and then we'll go watch the shoot around tomorrow afternoon.
What time does that start, Mike?
I think it starts at 11.
Okay, so you're going to do shoot around, and then NC State Purdue play first, and then Bama UConn's the later game.
Yep, because the tickets you have to buy tickets for both the games.
Okay. Yep.
But it's a great event, and the reason they do it out here, they turn the State Farm Stadium, or they're used to turning this in back and forth into different stadiums. You know, like hockey.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And everything. And that's why they have them in different. That's why when they built the Atlanta Stadium, they never thought about making it where you could make it into a basketball stadium.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So this isn't the first time that they've had any kind of basketball games out there.
Oh, no.
What do you think? Have you ever watched a basketball game, Mike, in a football arena like this?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
In Minneapolis, I did.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Vanderbilt?
I've never been, but I've seen it on TV about 100 times.
I went to Vanderbilt last year for the Auburn basketball game.
Well, if you can picture Vanderbilt, it takes them a while. You know, the big men don't have to adjust, but the shooters do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vanderbilt, their seating is not right up against the court.
Right, it's a little bit off the court.
Oh, well, it's the same thing shooting there. But if they can ever get hot from there, there's a shooting spree going on.
Yeah, well, you better believe it. Well, man, that's really cool that you're out there. And
well, I just wanted to call. I was listening to y'all. I had some other people listen. We were eating at a nice place out here, and I was just listening to y'all. But
well, we appreciate you listening, Mike. I do have a question. Yeah, I do have a question. If Alabama does pull off the upset tomorrow night, will y'all be staying until Monday night's game?
Oh, yes.
Now, Mike's in it for the long haul, folks. I love it. What do you think about the game? Do you think Alabama's going to win?
No.
Ooh.
And there it is.
Wow.
Party's over, folks.
Okay.
Hey, I wouldn't tell my grandson or my son-in-law that, but I think it's going to be closer than 11 points.
I have a feeling it could be. I think it's going to go one of two ways. I think it's going to be down to the wire, one possession, last person to have it wins, or UConn runs away with it. That's about all I got.
What I'd like to have, and that's what I told a gentleman this morning, and I said, what I'd like to have is broom running up and down that court with a Alabama jersey on.
Yeah, he'd give Alabama a pretty good chance.
I said, then we'd have a different story.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Well, y'all have a good one in Alabama, and, but I'll let y'all know the experience out here is good, and they treat you good here, and it's beautiful weather.
Good, man. 84
degrees.
Ooh, man.
Just beautiful.
Love it. Mike, we appreciate the call, man. It's great to hear from you, and we appreciate you listening to
us
all
the way out
there in Arizona, huh?
Yeah, he's at lunch
out
there getting
ready
for the national championship semifinals tomorrow night with Alabama and his family, and decided he'd give us a ring. Safe travels, Mike, to you and your family. And may your travels be short, buddy. What? we'll see you Sunday.
Hot mic, hot mic. Right. Well, look, man. At least he's honest. He's open about it, right? He's an Alabama fan, and he's worried about it. He's worried about the game, and I think a lot of them are. I think they're excited for it, but I think they're worried and nervous. And as you should be, no team should ever be overconfident going into the Final Four. Like, that's just not what you should do. Auburn, I think, felt pretty good against Virginia when they played in the Final Four, but we understood that there could be some there could be some things that could get us, and of course it happened. So if there are any other Alabama fans listening, call in. We'd love to get your thoughts on it. 334-321-1390.
I'll tell you what, any team historically, in my opinion, that goes up against the Tide in big time matchups with a lot of with the stakes being high and a lot on the line, if they're overconfident, Jacob, I've seen it 100 times, they get rickrolled by Alabama. I mean, I point back to, I know it's not the same sport, but in the 1992 Sugar Bowl, Miami down in New Orleans for the national championship, a big favorite. They were cocky. They were brash. They were the Cane Rain. They disrespected Alabama the entire week. They were ugly to the Tide players. Their fans were ugly to the Tide fans out on Bourbon Street. They thought they were going to kill Alabama, and they messed around and found out.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, this isn't – Auburn has fantastic athletics, okay? Alabama has fantastic athletics. They are an in-state rival. I've been – my entire life that I've been an Auburn fan, I know – I've been knowing what's going on at Alabama because you're not keeping up with your competition. You know, you better be. You don't need to obsess over them, and if they win it all this weekend, I'm good for you. Whatever, I'm worrying about my team, but you know, I know I've watched a lot of Alabama athletics in my life, and that's a serious bunch that plays for keeps. I'm just going to tell you, it would not shock me at all if they took care of business Saturday against UConn and did it rolling away.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines once again. Would love to hear from all of our wonderful listeners on this Friday afternoon, including this guy, John in Auburn. You're on the line.
Hey, guys. Hey, Uncle T-Bone, is that you? I'm gonna fade T-Bone Saturday with the boys in the desert. That seems like an Alabama lean, let me tell you. I am drinking the Haterade this week.
Hey, go for it, man. Do it.
It's my favorite team since Michigan football.
Hey, look, I would expect nothing else from any fan, especially an Auburn fan right now, to be drinking the Haterade, because I can promise you, if Auburn's out there on the Final Four right now and Alabama was home, it would be Haterade times 20.
Which is what it was 5 years ago.
Hey, and I've never understood the people who were like, hey, you know, I root for SEC teams when they play non-conference. Baloney. I've never rooted for Georgia against Georgia Tech in my life.
Well, there's some fans that
are
that way,
that.
And it's a we may have had this conversation the other day. It's a really common thing in college football bowl games where, you know, and I kind of am that way, I guess. I mean, I would rather an SEC team win over another team, but I'm not going to sit down and watch Missouri in a bowl game and say, go Missouri, go Tigers, can't wait for Eli Drinkwitz. Do that, but I would prefer Missouri to win if they're playing Ohio State. But when it comes to Georgia, Alabama, no. I mean, we all want them to lose just as bad as much as anybody else.
Just because I think that I'm telling you that they have a real shot at winning this game and wouldn't be surprised if they did, just knowing Alabama doesn't mean that I'm going to be rooting for them. Don't take it that way. Don't put words in my mouth now.
I will. Hey, the one that comes to mind, but I will say this, when teams get chirpy about the SEC, that's when I get a little angst in my emotions a little bit. I'll give you a perfect example. T-Bone, you'll remember this. You remember in the Sugar Bowl about 15, 16 years ago when Georgia played Hawaii and they were unbeaten and had like Timmy Chang or Colt Brennan or one of those?
Yes.
And Hawaii was going to claim like a national championship or something if they won?
Yes.
And I want to say it was like 55-3 or something.
Yeah, I remember that, and I think there was a Sugar Bowl not too far away from that one where West Virginia came in there and demolished Georgia and really embarrassed them until Georgia got together late and finally made it a respectable score. And I was rooting for West Virginia to put on about another 100. I mean, go ahead, John.
I'll give you one last example. I lived in Mississippi for a while, and since it's springtime, I'll give this example. The Mississippi State fans would make fun of Ole Miss all the time about 10 years ago because Ole Miss never won the West in football. Ole Miss never went to the College World Series. You know, baseball's a big thing over there. And, in fact, the Mississippi State fans came up with that Omaha stood for Ole Miss Ain't Here Again.
How about that? I don't think I've ever heard that.
Which has stuck with me all these years. But anyway.
And then Ole Miss went and won one.
Drink the Haterade and let's go Huskies.
Hey, that's right, buddy.
Appreciate the call.
Jacob, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was a lot younger, I had some conference pride. And
for the Southeastern Conference?
Absolutely, I did. But as I've gotten older, I don't have any love for the SEC, especially after what fellow conference teams and fan bases did to us in 2010. With Cam Newton and all the nasty rumor mongering that went on.
Yeah, that's fair.
And all the disrespect that was and all the shade that was thrown that way. And then later it comes out in the NCAA that nothing happened. And none of those people ever apologized for basically trying to ruin that kid's life and his family's name and Auburn fans' magical season. And so I don't have – there is no conference love for me. I don't care – now, I kind of like LSU as an athletic team just because their fans crack me up. And I like Buzz Williams, and I'll pull for A&M and basketball when they're not playing Auburn, cause, you know, especially because I like Wade Taylor IV.
Right.
But if anybody says, well, it's Alabama, and let's say it's not Alabama because that's a whole different ballgame when it comes to Auburn. But say Georgia was in the College World Series and they're playing against Virginia, and someone comes up to me and says, hey, Uncle T, they're in the SEC, and you've got to pull for them. Tell them to get away from me.
Yeah.
No, I don't, and no, I won't.
I'm in a weird spot because I don't – when it comes to the SEC teams, I don't necessarily want to see them win championships, if that makes any sense, because of Auburn, right? Because then,
it's just going to make our lives harder, ultimately, on the recruiting
track. Right, exactly. It makes Auburn's life, whatever sport, just for football, for example, right, or any of the sports, really – it's going to make Auburn's life harder to recruit and get guys here, and the national perspective of Auburn is going to go down, and it trashes Auburn a little bit, makes Auburn look a little bit worse, and that's for any other team around the league when they don't win a championship. And so that's why in college football bowl games, I don't really have a problem with wanting the SEC team to win, because that doesn't mean anything. The bowl games are worthless, so it doesn't really matter, right? This is a different story. I like to see the SEC do well in the first couple, really the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. But after that, I don't want to see what was Eric Musselman in Arkansas make runs in the NCAA tournament. I don't want to see Nate Oates in Alabama make runs in the NCAA tournament. I don't want to see any other John Calipari. I don't want to see any of those teams because I want that to be Auburn. And then the way that I start thinking is, well, why isn't that Auburn? Why is that not Auburn doing that instead of Alabama or Arkansas or whoever? And so when there are true championships on the line, no. I like the SEC to win and be able to pound your chest and say it just means more, but at the end of the day, does it really matter? And to John's point, he is right. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time when teams come into an event and they're playing the SEC, and they have a chance to take down the big dog, and they talk the entire way up to tip off or kick off. Yeah, they normally get their teeth kicked in.
Yeah, if you're gonna yap, that's a whole different story, right? If you're gonna get on TV, or you're gonna be one of these pundits who, you know, like not – what's his name? Not Chris Winkie, the former FSU quarterback who annoys Danny Cannell.
Oh, God.
Who just for some reason is going to run down the league all the time. Yeah, I'm going to root against you. I mean, if you're going to bump your gums and talk trash
bump your gums.
About my conference, then the only people who can talk trash about the SEC are people from within the SEC.
I like that.
But I don't have – and so, yeah, I like to see it when it – And I'll full transparency. I mean, I didn't want Alabama to win the national football championship in college football in 1992, but I didn't mind them seeing them punk Miami because they were the ultimate trash talkers mm-hmm. and disrespectors, not just of the SEC, but of college football and the world of sports. It's always nice to see somebody kind of rise up and pop a bully right in the face. Every American enjoys that. Unfortunately, it's not Auburn having that opportunity this weekend. And I really do think that ultimately that's what you're saying. And I think it's correct, too. Why isn't it Auburn? Auburn fans need to worry about Auburn. Whatever Alabama does, yeah, it's not good for us if they're successful. It makes our life harder. Our life's hard enough. It doesn't matter how much more they win. They've won a ton in all sports. We need to start winning at a more national level more consistently, and that should be the goal. I'm not saying if you don't win a championship, your season's a failure. That's ridiculous. Alabama fans will say that, and they demand that. They are but they get the results that they want. They get the opportunities. Auburn needs to start focusing just on being the very best that it can be, and don't worry about Alabama.
Well said. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back. 334-321-1390. Come on in here on this free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Oh, my gosh. Oh, listen to that sweet music. It. That sweet music.
It's coming, guys.
It's coming.
Can you feel it? The azaleas popping.
All right. We're going to get banned. Well, look. Hey, let's talk about it for a couple minutes. Masters is next week, my friend.
It is.
Starts on Monday.
My second favorite sporting event of the year. Master Sunday is just amazing to me, but it's can't miss television. First event, obviously, being I just really love the NCAA tournament, especially the first 2 weeks of it. But I love the Masters. It's just the tradition of it. And just cannot wait. Cannot wait for it every year. It comes this time every year. It's a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful setting. And some of the most amazing golf that you'll ever see played by professional golfers.
How much money would you pay to play? I mean,
to play Augusta?
Yeah.
I'd probably pay $1,000.
Thousand?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, in its prime, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying go over tomorrow morning, off at 8:30 on hole number one at Augusta National Golf Course. Yeah. How much would you shell out to do it?
Will they take a credit card?
card's a different story, huh?
You know, it's probably going to get on. I would pay easily $1,000 to play Augusta.
Oh, I'd probably pay more than that.
Do you know anybody that's ever played it?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you know what? We might have a I meant to talk to you about something. I'll talk to you about the break. We might have a teaser special guest in next week who has played Augusta before. I talked to him.
Really?
Just jogged my memory. So we'll talk about this. So y'all stay tuned, folks.
Well, hey, speaking of the Masters, we've talked about this a couple of times, so we need to start promoting it and plugging it big time.
Yes.
This time next week, on Friday, next Friday, we're going to be out on location again. That's right.
Let's go.
We're on remote again, and we want you to come out and be a part of it. If you didn't join us at the Plaza Bar or Fairway Auto Brokers, look, you're missing out, man. Nobody puts on a remote like we do at ESPN.
It's so much fun.
They're awesome. And next Friday, we are going to be at Baumhauer's Victory Grill on the party patio outside. That is brought to you by Sensa Green Heating and Air, our good friends over there. They're going to be putting it on for us. We're going to be out there from 2 to 6 on the line and the drive, kicking off the Masters Tournament on that Friday. So really excited for that. Come on out and join us 2 to 6 next Friday at Baumhauer's, brought to you by Sensa Green Heating heating and air.
Yep, for air that's cool and clean, you better call Sensegreen, and you better come out to the live remote at Baumhauer's over on Bent Creek Drive. We'll be outside on the party patio. If you missed the last two live remotes and the one at the Plaza, especially saying how that you can get an adult beverage at Baumhauer's like at the Plaza, you missed out on a lot of fun, so don't miss it. Everybody at the Plaza was there. Everybody at Fairway Auto Brokers, come on out also. Those were so much fun, and this one's going to be huge for Masters Friday.
Yes, it is. Well, so that'll be next Friday. We'll be at Baumhauer's, thanks to our friends at Sensegreen. And hey, speaking of the Final Four, get that out of here. Speaking of the Final Four, we're going to air that on ESPN this weekend. We'll tell you more about it. Hour number two coming up. Don't go anywhere.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
On the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two. Sun is shining. It's a gorgeous day on the plains. And if you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch it with the podcast at ESPNAU.com right after the show, or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Had some Final Four talk in hour number one. We also had some good phone calls in hour number one. And so if you missed any of that, you can go and listen to that after the show today. Coming up here in hour number two, about to sit down with our good friend Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas. Was able to catch up with him earlier today. I wasn't able to go live, but got him from earlier this afternoon. So we'll have that for you, talking about the Eric Musselman news and what's going to happen in Fayetteville, plus a little bit of Arkansas football news as well. So we'll have that in just a second. And then we'll talk Final Four some more, and Auburn A-Day and Auburn baseball. We got a lot to get to in this next hour. So sit back and relax. This is me and my good friend Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas. Back here on the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and we are joined, as promised, by a good friend of mine. He is the oh-so-talented Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas over in Fayetteville. Ty, great to hear from you, man. It's wonderful to have you back on the show. And I know we got a lot of news to talk about, but aside from that, hope all is well.
Jacob, all things are good. Arkansas has finally known at least one part of the coaching decision, which is their former head coach is now officially the head coach of the UC basketball team and leading the Trojans for beer on outs. And the next question is, who's going to take over?
Well, as we dive into all of this, with Eric Musselman no longer in Fayetteville, seems like he is going home, as to speak, to USC in Southern California. I mean, where did all of this come from with Musselman leaving Arkansas and going to USC? And it didn't take very long once the news came out.
I think this was in the works for a little longer than just a week or so. I mean, it's one thing to be on someone's hot board. It's another thing to actually interview for a job and then said take the job. I don't think this was a spur-of-the-moment decision. There's been people speculation that Hunter Yurecek and Moss don't have a great relationship, speculation he's trying to go back home. I mean, neither have spoken publicly about this, and so I don't know what the true answer is. What I do know is that this is a really good basketball job. And I would, if Arkansas had any chance, I mean, Bruce Pearl would be awesome, but he's not leaving the jungle. There are a lot of interested head coaches, though. There's probably a list of about 15 or 20 that aren't going to leave their current job. There's about 300 and some odd others that would be very intrigued by this job in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Well, something we've been talking about on the show, when the news came out that Musk was going to be interviewing for USC before it became official that he was leaving, I just kept saying, like, with you, when you have a job like Musselman did at Arkansas with the status that he had, with the success that he had, and if you have what he had there, you don't typically go and interview somewhere else if you didn't fully plan on leaving. Was that kind of the vibe before the interview happened and then the news that he was leaving?
That's a great way to look at it, Jacob. I think the expectation changed when you heard he was interviewing now. Apparently, the report of him going to Los Angeles to interview was a little incorrect. It's also been reported that he just interviewed via remote. Again, I had all this stuff during the course of a job search, and probably y'all had the same thing going on with Hugh Freeze and Bruce Pearl a few years back. He never fully, because no coach or athletic director will fully give every bit of information that happens. So you have to just kind of read between the lines as best you can. But once that news broke, you kind of expected him to take the job, and became official yesterday.
That's so crazy. Well, I mean, walk us through kind of what the fan base is thinking. I know you've had a lot of reaction on your show in the mornings, and it's I'm sure today's show was kind of crazy, and the next few weeks are going to be that way too as Arkansas tries to figure out who their next head coach is. But how do the fans feel so far with Musselman no longer being the head coach of the Razorbacks?
Like I mentioned, this is a really good job, and this may kick off some Alabama and Auburn fans listening, but it's the second best job in the SEC basketball. Football's way down. Baseball's really up there. He probably said it's number two. I think the LSU job speaks for itself baseball-wise. Three straight national championships. But Arkansas basketball with an arena over 19,000, massive fan support. Like Auburn, before Bruce Pearl, was not a great basketball job, but you got a Hall of Fame coach, and it became a great basketball job. And that facility at the Jungle that I still hadn't been to, want to at some point, there's no debating. Like, you ask any college basketball coach, ask any analyst, Arkansas basketball is a really good job. And so the belief, you're asking me the belief of the fans, the belief is they can go get someone good. There's all this wide theory, all these different theories on who that is, who it's going to wind up being. I just know I don't think it's going to be a hire that fans are disappointed in. I think there's going to be some excitement one way or another.
Well, I feel like, too, Ty, that the fans got pretty upset this past season with what was in Arkansas basketball standards, a disappointing season because of all the talent that was there and the hype that was there and what the previous success has been with Eric Musselman as the head coach. And so, yeah, I think they're borderline going to demand that they go and find somebody that's a home run, splash, sexy hire, all those terms we use around this type of thing. And so I think the Arkansas fans are going to pretty much demand it.
I think you have to, because you kind of rebirth the beast that Eddie Sutton and Nolan Richardson were both architects in creating. Now, they didn't go to a Final Four like both those coaches I just listed did. No one went to three. Eddie went to late. Eddie Sutton went to one. But, I mean, Musk was close. He was close a couple times. And last year's team goes to the Sweet 16 and defeats the defending national champion, ends up losing to the national champion. We kind of understood why they lost so bad to Connecticut once the Huskies went on to win. But, yeah, there's an expectation. Hunter Yurcich's got some people that are going to be frustrated if he botches this. If he botches it, his job's in jeopardy. That's the situation that the Arkansas athletics director finds himself in right now.
Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas joining us here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. What are some of the names that you're hearing early on? We've mentioned a few of them, but what are some that you're hearing, and then maybe some that you want to be in the coaching search for whoever the next head coach is of the Arkansas Razorbacks?
The most popular name is Chris Beard, the current sitting Ole Miss head coach. Arkansas connected with the fact that he coached in Little Rock for a bit. Is apparently said publicly that he feels like that you can win a national championship in Fayetteville. That is the widespread public favorite. There's no questioning his basketball acumen. I think Arkansas would pay whatever they have to get him there. The only question you have to ask yourself is what may or may not have happened in Austin, Texas, I guess a year or so ago. That's, again, the only red flag, or just raise your eyebrows, whatever, however you want to look at that. And outside of that, Jerome Tang, Kansas State, Will Wade, at McNeese State, the head coach for Samford's kind of the off-the-wall name that I like. I like Jerome Tang. I also like Billy Donovan, too. I mean, you know how this goes. fans latch on to someone and then they just start pushing it. There could be no connection. Hunter Yurcheck might have thought of the guy, but there is a lot of names out there. It is widespread. There's no question about that, Jacob.
When it comes to the money that Arkansas is willing to pay a basketball coach in terms of the other coaches on campus and compared to the other coaches around the SEC, I mean, Arkansas is competitive when it comes to what they would be willing to pay a new coach, right?
Oh, yeah. They will fork over some money. Again, this is not a homer. It's the best, second best basketball job in the SEC. You ask a lot of people. And the financial investment is the key part in all this, because there is some money in Arkansas that maybe got a little sideways this past year. But if you kind of dingle a carrot in front of their face, I think there's going to be a lot more people that maybe jump back on board. Arkansas's NIL program, we just had the executive director on last week. It only has about like 500 members, and I don't even know if it's that much. But I think you could definitely bolster that if you make the right hire here. And I don't know 100% who that is, but it's really the fans' reaction and what could become of this next week or so.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this, Ty. This season, as I mentioned earlier, this season didn't go well for Arkansas. I mean, the expectations were high. The talent was there. You had the head coach, and pretty much everything fell short of what this Arkansas team was supposed to be. And the fans were extremely vocal about this. I think that may have had something to do with Eric Musselman getting out and going to USC. We know he's a West Coast guy anyway. But any chance that maybe the fans had a lot to do with him kind of leaving Fayetteville and moving on?
I think that has been overused, and here's what I would say in regards to that, because that's not like an egregious statement to make.
Right.
There was disappointment, but there's a difference between disappointment and a fan base turning on a coach. And you could argue in football, the fan base may or may not have turned on Sam Pittman. It's about as close to 50-50 as it's ever been. The basketball team, they weren't good. They were under 500, kind of like the football team. But no one was like, fire must. Like, I didn't hear anyone with, like, a reasonable IQ that said, we should fire Eric Musselman. No one was saying that. I think back to Bruce Pearl a couple years ago. I think it was 2021, year after COVID, or I guess half COVID, when they were doing the NCAA tournament in Indy. They didn't make the tournament, if I remember that right. Neither did Cal and Kentucky. So those are two Hall of Fame coaches that, in the last 5 years, failed to make the NCAA tournament. And I think Eric Musselman is going to have a chance to maybe be there someday. He's got some stuff he's got to achieve first, but it happens in today's age of college basketball. And evidently, that I don't think you're too far off in stating that may have had an impact, but it was not the deciding factor. I'll say that.
Okay. Okay, well, I think that's fair. And look, here's the thing too, man. If a coach leaves because the fan base got upset and disappointed after one season and that's the reason you had to get out, you may not be the right guy anyway, right? I mean, you may not be in the right place. And so whether that was the case or not, who knows? Eric Musselman is gone. He's taking the USC job after they announced that he was coming back, and then that changed pretty quickly over there in Fayetteville. So we'll see what happens when it comes to who the Hogs hire as their new basketball coach. Talk with Ty Richardson. You can catch him on the Morning Rush over on ESPN Arkansas. While we got you for just a minute, man, give us an update on spring ball for Arkansas football. Spring game coming up, spring practice winding down. What can you tell us about Arkansas football?
Well, Jacob, first and foremost, I hope I get to stay with you the weekend that Arkansas travels
yes.
to Auburn.
That, yes.
That's the plan on as we sit here this afternoon.
We'll burn down the town, man.
On April the 5th, me, you, and Dan at Sky Bar, but it's cautious optimism. Look, they got slaughtered in the portal. They lost a bunch of games last season. Some were one-score games. Some games like Auburn were blowouts. And you just want a team that makes at least a bowl game. And I don't know if they have enough on the roster to do it. We still got the second transfer portal cycle. There's been some people that like what they've seen from Taylen Green, the 6'6", 6'7", transfer from Boise State. Seems to have some leadership qualities, which are good. But, I'm not jumping the gun on anything. Show me what you can do when you go to Stillwater, Oklahoma on, I believe, September the 6th. If you can, I'm not asking to win that game. That's the Big 12 runner-up. But don't get just mutilated in that game. If you show some fight, you show some resolve, maybe that will be a better season. But I'm unwilling to jump on board until they actually play, because the first game's a cupcake game against University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. They'll win that game by 40, but let's see what they do in Stillwater, Oklahoma against the Cowboys, Jacob.
Isn't it awesome they get to go and play there, though? I mean, these types of games are coming back to college football.
Yeah, Jacob, so I live about 2.5 hours from Stillwater in Arkansas.
Okay.
And so for a good chunk of Arkansas fans, they will make this trek. And it's not, and I say trek, I kind of tongue-in-cheek, because it's not a far drive at all. So it is going to be a lot of fun for a lot of different fans that will make that travel. And I can't wait. I'm like you, man. This is always good for college football. And let's keep these games going between non-conference opponents that either close in proximity or just marquee games.
And, of course, Arkansas will be renewing rivalries over the next few years with Oklahoma and Texas now, which is, that's weird to start talking about in a mouthful about those two teams being in the Southeastern Conference.
Now, Jacob, let me ask you something. I can't remember the thought of my head. Does Auburn play Oklahoma or Texas this year?
Play Oklahoma.
Okay. Is that in Norman or in Jordan-Hare Stadium?
That's in Jordan-Hare. It's one of the first five games. First five games are all at home. We get five straight home games in Jordan-Hare to start the year, because that's what everybody likes to have, right?
Wow.
So
that is
We had to do that a couple years ago, man, and it was terrible. It was horrible because it's August and September when it's 1,000 degrees outside. You got Alabama A&M to start the year, one of those, like you were talking about, one of those cupcakes. Then Cal comes here, New Mexico. You guys come here for Arkansas, and then Oklahoma comes here September 28th before we go to Athens for the game against Georgia.
Man, I'll tell you what, though, even though it's hot, I still got to make the trek, because Auburn is the brunette capital of not just the United States, but the world. Listen, the thing about Auburn, Alabama, you can find find nice, sweet girls in Gainesville or Tuscaloosa or there's other SEC towns. You find your wife in three places: Fayetteville, Arkansas, Auburn, Alabama, and Oxford, Mississippi. Those are women you take home to your mom. So I will be making the trip, and I don't know if Oklahoma fans will have much of a good time there. I see Auburn, even in Oklahoma with Arnold, I see Auburn winning that first game, which is just cool that the Sooners are coming to Auburn, and then you guys get to travel to Norman this following year.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool, man. I'm excited for that, and excited for you to make the trip over here. And yeah, like I said, we'll go find your future wife if we have to, man. I'm sure you'll be out and about, and we'll definitely make it happen coming up in football season. It's right around the corner, man. I'm really excited for it. Ty Richardson, ESPN Arkansas. Plug it all, brother. Tell people where they can find you.
Jake, appreciate it, man. So on social media, on Twitter, on X, I got to get used to saying that, at Ty Sports Radio. And I don't know how many Auburn, Alabama fans like Arkansas Sports Talk, but in the mornings on ESPN Arkansas from 6 to 9, and hopefully out with Jacob in about, 5 months from now?
Yeah.
Out at Sky Bar and other places.
Awesome. Hey, Ty Richardson, ESPN Arkansas, joining us here on the Friday edition of On the Line. So that was my friend Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas. Was able to catch up with him earlier today talking about the breaking news of Eric Musselman leaving the Razorbacks, going out to USC. And look, Ty's a hoot. You can hear it in his voice and hear the things he says. That man loves Auburn. He may be in Fayetteville, Arkansas, but that man loves Auburn, Alabama, let me tell you.
Yeah, you can tell that, Jacob. And he will be down here the weekend of September 21st.
Oh, I can't wait,
Arkansas,
man.
Comes to Auburn. The brunette capital of the world. I love it. And I have to agree with Ty. Welcome to the Plains, Ty. When he comes down here, Jacob, I think Uncle T might have to roll around town with y'all for just a little bit. Probably not too late, but, you know, I'm an older dude.
Well, we always have a good time with him. Him and I met at SEC Media Days, and we've just become really good friends. And I appreciate him joining us on the show and talking about that news. And look, they may be upset about Musk leaving, but they're expecting an even bigger hire there for Arkansas. And he said this.
Yes,
he believes
did.
It's the second best job in the SEC when it comes to basketball. How do you feel about that? And then we'll get to break.
I don't know how you quantify that. I mean, maybe 25, 30 years ago, for sure. I mean, Arkansas was a powerhouse. I mean, it's a great fan base. It's a solid basketball program with a national championship under its belt, although that was many years ago. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, he is right that, you know, the Auburn job is much more attractive than it used to be, right, because of Bruce Pearl, and that the Alabama job is as well, that Nate Oates has really elevated that program and that job. And, I mean, there's some really good basketball jobs in this conference.
Absolutely.
I mean, who wouldn't want to coach at Florida? You know, I mean, who – can, you know, and with Texas coming into the conference and Oklahoma, I mean, you know, that Arkansas job is a good job. I mean, they've got a great basketball program. Is it better than Ole Miss? Yeah. Heck yeah. Now, after listening to Ty, you can clearly see why Chris Beard would think about leaving Ole Miss for Arkansas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it better than Mississippi State? Yes. Is it better than Tennessee? I don't know about that.
I don't think historically, no.
Is it better than LSU?
Yeah.
Probably. Is it better than A&M? Is that a better job to be the head coach of basketball at Arkansas than Texas A&M?
Yeah. Well, here, I'll say this, and we got to get to break. But 2 hours ago, Chris Beard on his Twitter, his ex, now, I don't know if he runs this or not, but his Twitter account tweeted 2 hours ago in all caps, "Hotty Toddy. Great times ahead in Oxford. We are just getting started," with a picture of their arena of the SJB Pavilion. So, well, you could take that for what you will. I don't know if it means anything or not, because Arkansas basketball and Eric Musselman did a whole video about a week ago saying that he wasn't going anywhere and that they should hold on tight because things were just getting started, and then Musselman left immediately. And
yeah, that
what,
jet engine was getting started.
Yeah. You know what? Money talks, man. That's flying how this world works.
Flying to Southern California.
Yep. You better believe
it. I mean, they were gassing up the jet, and they're getting the engines warm.
He was taking the bus to the tarmac is what he was doing.
He was getting the heck out of Dodge. It was blatantly obvious from not just midway through this season, but earlier in the season, that Arkansas was having some serious issues, and the rumors were out there about Musselman leaving. I mean, that going back to very early January.
334-321-1390. Give us a call. Phone lines are open the rest of the show. We want to hear from you here on the Friday edition of On the Line. We'll be back after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Friday edition of On the Line. 334-321-1390. Terry, great to hear from you, man. It's been a minute.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. It's good to hear from you. What's on your mind on this Friday afternoon?
T-Bone, it may not shock you, but it would shock the world if Alabama could beat Connecticut. I can tell you that, or 95% of it.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, everyone and their mother thinks that, you know, outside of folks that really know Alabama or Alabama itself, that Connecticut's just going to dominate Alabama. And you know, I've seen this scary movie before. Friday the 13th, part Bammer. Just when you think they're dead, they're not. And they rise up and they start waylaying teams that most everybody thinks going to kill them.
See, I never believe any of the Friday the 13th stuff anyway, so because anybody can get shot and stabbed many times, that guy still be walking around, police.
Yeah, good point.
So that it's, if they choose to run with Connecticut, that there, look, good luck to them. Cause, and you got to stop Connecticut for one of that little run. They always seem to go on around the 15-minute mark of the second half.
Here's where I think Connecticut has the absolute massive advantage over Alabama, and they better be willing and disciplined enough to stay the course with it, and that's with Klingman inside. They're going to feed him, and they're going to feed him, and they're going to feed him, and then they're going to send him on the bench, and they're going to bring in his replacement, who's not quite as physical as he is, but can get up and down the court very quickly for a big man. And when you pound on Alabama in basketball and you don't, you know, make the mistake of trying to play their three-point shooting game like North Carolina did, in Connecticut will be, you know, Alabama is a little bit more physical, I think, than people give them credit for, but Connecticut is definitely the more physical basketball team.
And with the team being played in a bigger stadium like that and a team like Alabama lost the outside shot, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
Depth perception. Y'all talked about it earlier.
Right.
I'm just telling everybody, when you go to – is that the same stadium where Auburn played in the national title game in football, T-Bone?
I believe so.
Okay. Now, they know they can pack another 6,500, 7,000 people in there on the floor. So They're going to do it. It's all about the dollar. On Chris Beard a little bit. Didn't Domus get off like a 15-1 start this year or something like that?
I believe they were undefeated.
They were undefeated in non-conference play, but it was one of the weakest non-conference play schedules I've ever seen in my life. It was bad. Like
and missed the tournament.
Yeah, and missed the tournament. I mean, they didn't play. You know, Auburn played the USC's and Indiana's and UConn's and Virginia Tech's of the world, and Ole Miss didn't play any of them. I mean, Ole Miss played the lowest of the low, and I was saying, don't buy into it. Ole Miss is not all that great, and here we are. Like you said, Terry, they missed the tournament.
Nah, that's just. I know they're undefeated. I thought they were like 15-2 or 16-1, something like that. That even more to do that well at the beginning and miss the tournament. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about conference play at that point.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yep, great to hear from you, Terry. Thanks so much, man. 334-321-1390. And, you know, you were bringing up North Carolina, and I want to bring up Clemson, too, because Clemson in that game against Alabama, they started out the way they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
They were dominant inside. They got up on Alabama. Weren't they up by 10 in that game on Alabama at one point? And what do I keep saying about this Crimson Tide team? When you're playing them, if you have a lead, subtract 10. If you're not still winning, you're not truly beating them, because that's how quick they can score. They
right.
can put on 10 points in a hurry. And Clemson started going inside to PJ Hall, right? They started continuing to go inside into the paint, get to the free throw line, and then all of a sudden, right, they had withstood most of the runs. Not all of them, because Alabama's going to have them. Then at the end, near the end of the game, when Alabama started hitting shots, Clemson did exactly what every other team has done so far, and they flipped out. They stressed out. They worried. And they started trying to shoot with Alabama. They tried to go 3-for-3 with Alabama. And guess what? You cannot do that. And UConn's not going to go against their game. UConn's not going to go away from what they know is going to work. Dan Hurley's too good of a coach.
Yeah, he's too disciplined.
I just think that's what UConn's going to have to do. And if they do that for 40 minutes, they will win the basketball game. It's plain and simple.
You know, I know everyone says that Alabama's a three-point shooting team, and they are, but they do get to the rim a good bit. Aaron Estrada especially.
Sears?
Estrada's done a great job in this tournament with being hard to guard and kind of going in some misdirections and getting some 10 to 12 footers. So I am interested to see if UConn's defense is the team out there that we think it is and can shut them down.
We'll talk more Final Four plus A-Day and Auburn baseball 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on this Friday edition of On the Line. He's Uncle Tebow, and I'm Jacob Goetz with you inside the studio at ESPN 106.7. Let's get to the phone lines again, 334-321-1390. Spectre, what's up, man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, you guys. Hey, y'all have a good show today, but I got to talk to you about something. I can't get over the hatred I hear about the SEC.
The hatred?
I mean, Alabama's representing the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when it comes to the Iron Bowl, that's something different. But we are a member of the SEC. And wouldn't you want to pull for the team that's representing your conference?
I don't know. No, I'm sorry, Spectre, and I'm going to tell you why. And I said it earlier, in 2010, I felt like that every single institution in the SEC turned on Auburn with sharp knives and hatchets, and they did everything in their power to try and run down Auburn and Cam Newton in our championship run. And ever since then, I've had a bitter taste in my mouth about the conference. They went as far as to not even vote Cam Newton the male athlete of the year and pick some, I think, swimmer from the University of Tennessee over him, which is ridiculous. And if they're not going to have that type of support for us, then I'm not going to have any support for them.
Well, let me say this. Where does Auburn stand on that opinion that you just said?
I don't know.
I mean, why are we a member of the conference if we've been kicked around and treated like that?
Because it makes Auburn the most money?
Exactly. It's all about the money.
So, there you go. So, you've been listening long enough. You know that.
Yeah, so if Alabama wins the national championship in basketball, that's more money for the conference. Is that correct?
Probably so.
I don't know about that.
I mean, there's going to be all sorts of financial benefits from it, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I am pulling for the conference. Whenever we beat Alabama, and what does it say about Auburn if Alabama goes in and just gets wiped out?
That we won.
What does it say about Auburn if Alabama wins the national championship?
If Alabama wins the national championship, it basically says that we're like the Starks from Game of Thrones. We won all the battles but lost the war.
Hey, you win some, you lose some. That's the way it goes. But the spirit of the game is gone. It's all about who ends up in first. Second place is the first loser.
Yeah.
So it's all about business now. It ain't about spirit anymore. You know, T-Bone, you're old enough to know that when Auburn was playing in the 70s and 80s and everything, there was a lot of team spirit. After the game, we shook hands and hugged the other.
I agree with that.
So on and so forth. But now it's, I mean, the hatred out there is unbelievable. I know fans are a little bit at the end of the spectrum over there, but when the hatred comes out. But, you know, Alabama fans have gave us this mentality to hate them so bad. You know, I grew up in a family, a large family that's half Alabama fans and half Auburn fans. And, you know, we were at each other's throat during the game. But after the game, you know, we had that year of one side would raise their flag all year long until the next game came up.
Mm-hmm.
But the spirit was still there. You know, the love of the game was still there. But now there's no love in the game. It's all about the competition.
Yeah, and that's just where the world has gone too, Specter.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I'll agree to disagree. I'm an SEC fan, and if Vanderbilt was playing for the national championship, I'd be right there rooting for them.
I'd probably be rooting for them too because they're almost like the perennial underdog.
Yes.
And I have a soft spot for the perennial underdog. I guess that's why I've always been an Auburn fan. Yeah. And I like to see the small rise up and take down the mighty. But you're right, Specter. I mean, I think the world has changed, obviously, and it is championship or bust mentality, and it is a business. But if you're going to be in business, you need to be. If you're going to be a bear, you got to be a grizzly in 2024.
Well, that's right. Well, let me say this one other thing, and I'll close here. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to a lot of kids on Auburn High School, and you know, when Central was playing, you know, we had a heated competition between Central
and
our division there. So, but when they played Thompson, you know, our kids were rooting for Central. And even though, you know, some kids, you know, didn't like Central or hated Central or whatever, but that was only during the game. It's the spirit of the game.
That's right.
But Auburn High School was rooting for Central High School when they played Thompson. Ain't no doubt about it.
Well,
but anyway.
I mean, I was rooting for him because I'm rooting for Cam Coleman.
There you go. Hey, appreciate the call, Specter. It's great to hear from you on this Friday, 334-321-1390. And look, I'll say this. We've come to this, and I'm not saying just on this topic. I'm saying in general, and I'm not going to get super deep into this because we got more to get to. But in terms of this sort of a conversation where it's like, well, I'm not cheering for the SEC because I don't like anybody else except Auburn. Or I'm cheering for the SEC because I'm loyal to the conference that we're a part of. Both things can be true, right? You don't have to have everybody on the same line of thought. If you don't agree with me, you're wrong. And I'm not saying that's Specter by any means because it's not. I mean, like you said, agree to disagree. If you want to cheer for the SEC teams and Auburn's not playing, go for it. If you want to hate on every single one of them and throw them up as a devil worshiper, go for it. I don't care. Like that's the great part of being a fan is you can cheer for whoever you want and you can cheer against whoever you want. That's the great part about sports. And that's literally what gives us a job to do what we do right now and talking about sports on the radio and allowing our wonderful fans to call in and be a part of it. That's what makes this so special.
Yeah, a lot of not just fandom, but this type of conversation is has trended towards extremism in some people's minds. Like, I liked what Ty Richardson said in the conversation with you from your Arkansas guy. You asked him, did basically Arkansas fans' disappointment and criticism run Musselman out of town? He's like, no. You know, he's like,
he said that's been overblown.
He said way overblown. I think it's over when fans are critical of teams and their own teams, and some it gets overblown in some people's mind that, oh my gosh, you said something negative about your university and team. You must want the coach fired.
Yeah, and you're negatively impacting our recruiting and people wanting to come here. And I think at times that is a thing, but on the grand scheme of it, no.
You can be critical, and he just said it like Arkansas fans were, and disappointed without turning on the coach. Those were exact words. And so, in today's world, I'm with you. I mean, Spectre, if you want to cheer for the SEC, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
And I said in some cases I do cheer. I would cheer for Vanderbilt. I would cheer for Arkansas. I would cheer for A&M.
And that's where this is getting murky.
I just don't have some blind loyalty to the conference. Mm-hmm. Because I can promise you, across this conference, there's not a blind loyalty by every other team to Auburn.
Right, and you know, turn it around, right? 5 years ago when Auburn was in the Final Four, how many Alabama fans were cheering for Auburn when they were playing Virginia? Not a lot of them.
Not many.
And I'll say this, I bet Spectre is probably in the minority. And again, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But he's probably in the minority when it comes to the game tomorrow night, especially the folks in this town and across the state in the Southeast that wear blue and orange. There's most of them are not going to be cheering for Alabama tomorrow night, or at least pulling for them. Cheering and pulling's kind of different. Yeah, whatever. But you see what I'm saying. That's probably a minority thinking. But again, that's the great thing about it. You can think that way. Go for it. Have a good time.
I think if we went down to our good friend Kevin Tudhope's Baumhauer's over on Bent Creek Drive, that's a proud sponsor of On the Line, so we're going to give him a free plug. I bet if we went down there tomorrow at 7:09. Got us some of their fantastic wings and a picture of their cold snacks.
There you go.
70% of the Auburn fans in there, at least, would be hating and booing Alabama. Okay? At least 70%. And if the tables were turned and this was in Tuscaloosa, I'd say probably 99% of their fan base would be hating on us. But, you know, look, it is what it is. So, I mean, don't take it to too much extremism if someone gives an opinion, especially if it's one of us. We're fans, too, and we just give an opinion.
And no one person is right. No one person's opinion is the
right
opinion.
Anyone who comes on one of these shows or on message boards and definitively says, I'm right and you're wrong, you want to run away from them as a false prophet.
But unfortunately, and not even in sports, and we're going to get to the phones, not even in sports, just as I was telling Spectre, and we say this so many times, that's just where the world is, man. Everybody just is like, it's my way or the highway. If you don't agree with me, then you're wrong. It's just, it's crazy. And that's not what this type of a platform's about. And that's what's great about our show, Uncle Tebow. And I think we allow our people to voice their opinions and their thoughts and allow them to get out what they want to say. And this guy wants to do that too. 334-321-1390. Dan, you're on the line, man. Happy Friday.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm going to be the biggest UConn fan tomorrow that I've ever been. I've never cheered for him one time in my life, but I'm the UConn fan.
There you go. You got your Huskies t-shirt on tomorrow night.
You know it, man. I want them to lose that freaking badminton. I don't really care. It's like they're the rival. They're a bunch of jerks. They rub it in your face that they create that hatred because of the way they act and the way they carry themselves. And we know how much they cheat, so I could never cheer for them. It's just not possible. Now, there are certain teams in the SEC. When Joe Burrow was at LSU, I cheered for them. I thought he's a great player, and he was really good, and it was a great team. I've got no problem with them winning. I've got no problem with Vanderbilt winning. If Kentucky was playing football, I'd probably cheer for them. But
not
basketball, maybe not so.
Yeah, I think that you say something interesting, Dan. It can change from year to year, right? Because I liked Joe Burrow's in LSU also. I thought that was just a fantastic and dynamic team to watch, and I found myself cheering for them at the end there in the college football playoffs. So, but you know, the next year I wasn't cheering for LSU at all in anything. Circumstances can change.
Yeah, I just. Look, it's just hard. If if Alabama fans, any, I'd say even now Georgia fans, if they could win and just be cool about it, then you know what? So be it. But, I mean, they will rub it in your face. And every time you see them, it'll be just – it's just they're just not the type of fan base or school that – I mean, it's hard mm-hmm. to cheer for them in anything. You know, it's just – heck, I was pissed at Charles Barkley for saying Roll Tide.
Yeah, I know. Well, and I think you're a voice for a lot of Auburn fans, Dan. Sure. I really do. I think you're – not all of them. Again, not all of them, but – I would say probably the majority of either the folks that listen to this show, this station, in this town, or around the state. I mean, I think you're probably the majority voice, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Arkansas football made it to the end, I don't have a problem with Arkansas football, you know. I mean, I didn't really like Mus, whatever his name is. I can't think of his name. The guy that just left Arkansas, I think he's kind of a jerk. It's hard to cheer for him. But, I mean, you know, just – but Nate Oates, he's kind of
Musselman.
Yeah, Musselman. But, yeah, but Nate Oates has got that cocky, I'm better than everybody else type Alabama entitlement, you know, the way they act. It's just – it's impossible to cheer for them.
Dan, I'm going to give you a perfect example of how circumstance changes on who you, or who not you may cheer for outside of your own fan base, specifically in the SEC. In the early 90s, the equivalent to Nate Oates to me was Steve Spurrier. I hated him. I could not stand his golf visor. He was brash. He was cocky. I knew he was good. He probably helped end Pat Dye's career here at Auburn, who I loved and still do. And he was this new wave of coach that was all up in your grill and was going to run it up on you when he got it down. And I was taught not that was not the right thing to do in competition. But as time went on, I started to respect him. And then I started to realize how great he was. And once I started respecting him, I started listening to him more, and I thought he was pretty funny. And now I think the world of him. So, you know, that kind of thing can change. But I don't think it'll ever change for any Auburn fan truly from a coach from the other side.
Yeah, you might see me at Toomer's Corner when Alabama loses tomorrow.
I don't think you'll be alone, Dan. Hey, great to hear from you, man. We appreciate you calling in on this Friday afternoon, 334-321-1390. And, again, same thing we said to Specter. There's nothing wrong with that. And most Auburn fans are not pulling for Alabama tomorrow. I mean, that's not breaking news by any means. We're not shattering the world with some news on this program and things right now. Sometimes we do, but not right now. It's just it is what it is, man. If you want to pull for the SEC tomorrow night, cool. If you want Alabama to lose and everything including badminton, that's fine too. Go for it, man.
Speaking of Alabama fans, has anyone done a wellness check on our good friend Doug Amos?
He's coming.
I bet he's coming unglued right now. Just
a nervous Nelly.
There is no possible way he gets any sleep tonight.
No.
That guy is fired up right now for this game tomorrow.
And you know what? It's
good
guys,
for him.
Exactly. It's guys like Doug that you really do want to be happy and want their teams to
Absolutely.
Do well because they've been following it for so long. They're so passionate about it. And Doug's one of the rare Alabama basketball fans that's a true blue, like through and through basketball
fan. He's
got to
be
of
one of the biggest basketball fans I've ever met.
Yeah,
in my
just
life.
Basketball in general. Yeah.
Let me tell you one reason why I'd be happy for Doug if Alabama won at all, and it's strictly because he got in his car from Wetumpka and drove over here to our live remote, our very first one of the year over at the Plaza Bar, and hung out with us and supported us. So if he's going to support us, I'm going to support him.
Absolutely.
And I hope if they do win, that he's going to be the happiest man on the planet.
He probably will be. Well, we'll take our final break here. Come back. We'll mention some baseball things, wrap up, give you our final thoughts and predictions on the Final Four. I have a little news we need to drop about Monday's show. We'll have all that for you when we come back and wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line and winding down the week, man. I'm glad it's Friday. Let me tell you what, busy
TGIF.
Weekend. Yes, busy weekend on tap for me, hopefully for a lot of you as well. We're going to get to the phone lines really quickly here at 334-321-1390. K-Bag, what's up, man? What you got for us?
Good afternoon, fellas. What a beautiful day on the plains. I tell you, it's a Chamber of Commerce day. Everybody ought to be outside and excited about this Auburn football team. It took me a couple weeks to get over that that horrific Yale loss. But you know what? We've turned the page, and all I want to say is heading into 8A weekend is Cam Coleman for Heisman. I'll hang up and listen. War Eagle, y'all have a great weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to head down to the 8A game tomorrow. Me and my youngest son, good for you. I'm looking forward to it.
I know we haven't talked a ton about it today, but y'all kind of know my thoughts on the 8A game. So,
well, I think that some people misconstrued some of the things we said about spring practice and the importance of 8A. I mean, I watched Auburn last year. They need all the practice they can get. I'm looking forward to seeing improvement in the athleticism of the players on the field and the caliber of talent already on campus that has been recruited, and also in the transfer portal, specifically on the outside with the playmakers. K-Bag, the bagger himself, the legend of Bagger Vance himself, mentioned his name, Cam Coleman. All eyes will be on him tomorrow inside the stadium. But I'm also looking to see how much better the ball is being delivered to him in the air. And I'm not going to get into names of quarterbacks that need mentioning that kind of stared down some receivers late in the season last year and need to improve as well.
Yeah, well, that's all. I mean, look, when it comes to A-Day, we'll have more reactionary things early next week about what happened at A-Day. And I've told you, again, good things are going to happen, bad things are going to happen, people are going to overreact regardless. That won't be us. And it's a spring practice, man. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's practice.
It's a practice.
It's practice. We're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice. I love it. Legendary.
Don't
clip.
You have an announcement to make about Monday?
Yeah, I do. I do. Also, Auburn baseball got Tennessee this weekend. Number 4 team in the country, again. Tickets are flying off the shelves. They've sold out just about the whole weekend with A-Day and the series this weekend. I mean, this is must-win territory for Auburn baseball, that you got to win this series this weekend. If you don't turn it around right now, you're in a real big hole. I know some people may not agree with that.
That's asking a lot, Jake.
But I think this is the weekend you've got us turning around. You're 1-8 in conference play, man. 1-8.
Well,
you've got
to
get some wins.
What better place to do it than inside Plainsman Park
against Tennessee. Absolutely.
A team and usually I can pull for Tennessee in some sports, but I can't pull for their baseball program ever.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a fun weekend. I wish I could be there. I cannot. I will also not be here on Monday. The show will go on, but I will not be here on Monday. I have a wonderful opportunity to be at Augusta. I will be at the Masters on Monday. Yes, there it is, the sweet music. I will be at Augusta on Monday for the practice round. My dad and I got tickets, so I will not be here. Uncle T-Bone will be here, maybe some special guests. Dude, get that. Turn that off.
I love that music.
Oh, my God.
God, it's going to be so much fun. I don't know what's going to happen Monday. Intern Allen and I just run the show.
Yeah.
And
that scares me.
You know what? I'm going to say something, Jacob. Have a great trip to Augusta. It's a fantastic place, and we're going to make some changes around here while you're gone.
Oh, gosh. If the building's gone when I get back, I'm going to be really upset. So hopefully everything goes fine. It will on Monday. I have pure confidence. So 2-4, Uncle T-Bone, whoever else shows up, y'all have a great time. I'll be back on Tuesday. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk A-Day. And, yeah, we're talking the Masters next week, man. So much to talk about when we come back next week. Hey, have a great weekend. Whatever you're doing, get out and support something. Enjoy the Final Four. He'll be back on Monday. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'll be back on Tuesday. I'm Jacob Goins, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.